Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, because what happened yesterday, if you watched the game, if you're happy to see it, if you didn't, we'll tell you, walk you through it. So Paul Byrd's out there. He's talking to the guy that caught the ball, right? And broker a deal. So he tells Paul Byrd, hey, tell that guy I'll get him a bat for the ball. And Paul Byrd thinks it's like the worst trade of all time. He thinks Jeff Francoeur's offering him Jeff Francoeur bat, which would be like the worst trade. No offense to Frenchie, but that would be a horrible trade.
Yeah, I think it was like all done tongue-in-cheek, but that is a one heck of a milestone. But you shout out to the individual, the person that gave the ball back, because I know if he was with his family or his girlfriend or whatever, there was a lot of conversation that was had in a short period of time. I would not even be surprised if he woke up this morning and probably wish he would have handled it a lot differently than he did it last night. I mean, because some of the reactions that we're getting on Twitter are pretty impressive. And listen, people, I'm like this. I understand. Like, either way, like, if you give the ball back, I get that. But if you're looking at it as a financial windfall, I get that too. Because I would imagine in that moment, when you catch that 200th ball or when you pick that 200th ball up, there's a bunch of thoughts going through your head. Knowing how much people will pay for memorabilia, knowing how much that ball could potentially be, I'm pretty sure your head's swimming right now. And to give it back at that moment, I mean, I commend him for that. But at the same time, cannot be mad at the other guy who would go look at that situation, John, and try to make some money off of that either. Can't be mad at either one of those guys, to be totally honest.
You know, I'm going to give the ball back to Freddie. I'm not going to sell it on eBay. That's just me. I'm going to give it because I know it means something to him. It's historic, and he wants to put it on his mantle.
But after you ask for a king's ransom.
Well, did I ask for too much? I said, this is what I said, all right? I said, I'm going to ask for an autographed bat, an autographed jersey, a photo of Freddie and me with the ball, and then I want 4 suite tickets and parking to a future game.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And like when you said it, I understand it because that's probably – that ball is probably going to be worth more than that. But at the same time, when you're a fan and you think about the nostalgia, that's behind for him, for Freddie, for that ball, you're like, hey, he should have it. But at the same time, it's like some caller called in. I forgot where he was calling from, talking about how much he paid for hot dogs and parking and everything. He's trying to recoup some of that loss. I get that as well. It's just one of those tough spots to be in as a fan when you look at it and you're in that situation, because I'm pretty sure you know how that those scenarios, you see the devil and your angels on your shoulder and they're telling you different things you could do. That's one of those things where it probably was a little bit of a tug of war for that person that caught that ball.
Yeah, most people are saying they would ask for less than me. Caleb Cook does tweet into us and say, I was 2 rows away from Chipper's 400th. My girlfriend at the time was blocking me from getting into the aisle. That's why she's no longer the girlfriend. Some girl reached down, picked it up. She exchanged it for a signed ball, didn't even meet him. My demands would have been higher. Yeah, my demands would have been a little bit higher too.
Yeah.
And it's really, when you say people are like, yo, you're making demands, you know, one of the other tweeters said, you know, what if he just doesn't give you anything and tells you to go away? Well, okay. It's not really the demand.
Away.
You know, I mean, I don't think that asking for an autographed bat and an autographed jersey and a picture and tickets to a future game is a high bar to reach. I just don't think that, I think that that's a fair trade in my opinion.
It's a lot. I still say I think it's a lot. And to even have the cojones. Can I say that? I can say that on there, can I? Cojones? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's weird. To even ask for all that, that's where I would kind of be like, for real? I mean, you're at the game, you join the game, you get a ball. And I would think, for me, the highlight would have been to hand the ball back to Freddie and to have that picture. Mm-hmm. Of me handing the ball.
That would,
you know,
be
what I mean?
That, yes, like, the picture,
like,
is the
me,
highlight. Right.
Like, to have the – like, I want a picture of me in the ball in my hand and me handing it over to Freddie Freeman.
Right.
And we're sitting there and I do, like, the thumbs up or something. That, to me, is a pretty cool picture. That's one of those pictures that when you hang it up on your mantle and your grandkids. That's my grandpa. He caught the ball. He caught Freddie Freeman's 200th home run, and you know they shook hands and they you know they hung out for a minute. That to me is cool. That's a moment where, like as a fan, those are the things that you're going to be talking about in your family for years. You know what I mean? Long after the money's gone, long after the jersey falls apart, yes. Long after the ticket, the new ticket smell of being in the booth, whatever, the press box wears off. Totally to me, agree. that's the moment that you remember, because that's what your grandkids are telling. My grandpa met Freddie Freeman when he hit his 200th home run, and after that, Freddie hit 300 more, whatever. But mm-hmm. He was there for the 200th,
right.
And here's the picture. To me, that to me means more. But I understand on the flip side, I understand how, you know, that money thing, you could use the conversation, well, yeah, My grandpa hit that, you know, caught the 200th ball, and he got some money for it and helped put me through college. That's a great story to tell.
Maybe I'm asking for too much. 404-741-0929. I'm going to open up the phone lines in this hour to talk to you about that, but we also want to talk about something else too. And I want to ask you, after the Braves went to L.A. and got worked, and then they went to Arizona and lost that first game in Arizona, they had lost four in a row. And there were a lot of us saying, okay, what's going on here? You move Acuna to the top of the lineup, then Austin Riley shows up. All of a sudden, you've got bats that are starting to boom. You move Josh Donaldson down in the lineup, so there's quite a bit of changes, right? And the team has reeled off, even with the loss yesterday, 7 wins in their last 9 games. They have started to separate a little bit, okay? The Braves are 2.5 behind the Phillies, but you see the Mets 6.5 back. You see the Nationals 8 back, and those teams are showing no signs right now of any life. One of them may catch fire, but right now they're not showing any signs of life. So the only difference between the Braves and the Phillies at the moment was that opening series that Philadelphia swept at the Braves at the beginning of the year. So we're getting some separation here, and the Braves are starting to play better, and they're starting to settle in. And all of a sudden, Hugh, I could see, you know, things starting to happen for the Atlanta Braves. My expectation level has ticked up a notch, and I want to know if that's true of anybody out there. Has your expectation level ticked up a notch? I was just sitting there thinking 81 and 81, they're going to float around here. Now my expectation level is starting to tick up towards – hey, maybe they can make a run at this division. That's kind of where my expectation level now. Maybe we can make this a two-team race with Philadelphia, and if we could do that, then I think we got a good shot. We got a shot.
John, you know, honestly, I've been feeling like that since the first series against the Phillies and the Braves. And I know that there was not a whole lot as, you know, a fan that you could look at and kind of hang your hat on, because a lot of people were upset. And a lot of people were upset with the bullpen. But I always felt that way. I always felt that this was going to come down to the wire at the end of the season. And I still feel that way. And now when you look at the way that, you know, you have Austin Riley coming up and you have Ronald Acuna batting in the front of the order now and how it's sparked the offense and, you know, you got Tukey Toussaint in the bullpen and him working his way out of
Sean
things
Newcomb.
And all of that stuff.
Right.
I always felt like that. To me, when I watch baseball, and I know it's one of those things where it's for fans that they live and die every day with it. I'm a little bit more patient with it. You know, I listen to when Brian Jordan is on with Bunky Pants and Randy Mack, and they're talking about it. And I try to listen to what he's saying and you know, let it play out a little bit. It's always been like that for me. It's amazing to me, like, as fans, when you watch it, it's like you live and die with it every day. But I think this is the overall plan for them or the way that the Braves were thinking from the beginning. And that's one of the main reasons why when they had all that money – they didn't make any moves, because when you're looking at these young arms and then you're hearing the stories from Tom Glavine and talking about how some of these guys started out in the bullpen and then they worked their way back into the starting lineup, looks like that's probably going to be the case for Sean Newcomb. Looks like that's probably going to be the case for Tukey Toussaint. But right now, listen, I know you want to be a starter. I need you in this bullpen. I need you out here giving me these short innings in order to get us past this. And then you grow from there. And when you look at all these young players that are around here, man, I look at this as something that could potentially be something special in the next 4 or 5 years that you can sustain for a long period of time.
Yeah, as long as your starters hold up, you have this luxury of being able to put Sean Newcomb and Tukey Toussaint out in the bullpen and join Webb and Winkler. And those four have really kind of settled down the bullpen, and they've given you quality innings. All four of them have given you quality innings and whatnot here in the last, 10 games or so. And maybe that bullpen by committee with those guys can work. Now, you have to have your starters settle down and get beyond just Fried and Soroka and Julio. And I'll give Julio credit. He's pitched well. I got to see more from Kevin Gausman. And it's encouraging to see what Mike Foltynewicz did. They gave him the one more start, Hugh, and I know he didn't get the win yesterday. And, yes, I know a lot of people were tweeting out. They were really kind of disappointed and flummoxed as to why Brian Snicker would let Mike Foltynewicz bat for himself and then take him out of the game. Why wouldn't you pinch hit him?
Yeah, that was a little strange.
That was a little strange.
Because I think he kind of left him out there because they were talking about how they left him out there to try to work his way through it or whatever. But then, yeah, it was a little strange.
I mean, to yank him after he hits, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it was a bit of an interesting move. They're saying, well, you're working with a short bench. Okay, but is Josh Donaldson there or not? I mean, they ended up using Donaldson. They used him at the end of the game in the 10th inning. But that was a spot where you could have used Donaldson. I'm just saying. So interesting that they let Foltynewicz bat, and this is what the result was. So you still had other guys that were on the bench that you could have used, and then they pulled him out of the game. I just thought it was kind of a bizarre move. Notwithstanding that, the Braves have raised the expectation level, in my opinion. All right, let's get you a chance to win $1,000.
$1,000. $1,000.
You want me to just go ahead and give the
word?
Just
get a word, man. Yeah. We don't have to.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word.
You're waiting for
the code word is
red. R-E-D. Red. R-E-D. Like, I guess this is all kind of a theme here today. R-E-D. Red to 72881. Red to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules at 99thegame.com/rules. Red to 72881.
You know, my man, I just want to say, we were talking about the Freddie Freeman thing and about taking the ball in. My man Rayview, ATL, said, we're cool. He talking about me. You're my dog, Hugh, but I'm closer to John Fricky on this one. Let me get that check, Freddie. I get it. Either way, to me, honestly, this is a situation where there's really no wrong answer. Because either way you go with this, you could find ways to justify the way you feel about giving him back that ball.
Push the ball, shoots one to me. Yeah, John, that's a lot to ask. You might as well ask that man to name his next child after you. Am I really? 404-741-0929. Is it too much to ask for Freddie Freeman's 200th ball? Okay, you got it. I'm just telling you, I don't know what he got for it. I'd be fascinated to find out. I said, just an autographed jersey, autographed bat, picture with Freddie, and how about you slide me some four suite tickets to a future game and throw in parking? I just don't think that's a fair trade. Is it too much? I'd love to hear from you at 404-741-0929, but maybe that's just me. And yes, somebody else weighing in, this is Ben Briscoe. Until our bullpen is fixed, we'll never catch Philly. Again, maybe your bullpen is fixed if you have these guys. I don't know. But we still need a closer. At least Luke Jackson's doing the job, but he's got to earn my trust. My expectations are higher. It will be a two-team race. Yeah, mine are too. I think that's a good way to put it. I was at 500. Now my expectations are this could be a two-team race. All right, a couple of things to talk about with you with the Braves. Did we ask for too much on the ball? And are your expectations raising that the Braves can actually make this just a two-team race? We'll get to your calls in a moment after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Swing and a drive. That's going to be long gone. How far up? Well, Acuna took care of that, didn't he? A no-doubt leadoff homer.
Yes, that was a no-doubt home run to lead off the first inning from Ronald Acuna, he hit that into the Hank Aaron Terrace about three levels up down left field line. So, Ronald Acuna, ever since he went to the top of the lineup, starting to warm up. The team is starting to warm up. The big bats are starting to swing. Freddie now with 11 home runs. Acuna with 9. The Braves are the leading, the best hitting team in the National League. Have the highest team batting average in the National League. Matter of fact, by a pretty good margin.
Yeah, ever since they moved the Ronald Acuna to that leading role, they've hit a lot better. I think it was over the last 10 games or something he was saying, something like that. Yeah, they've been a much better hitting club.
And this is why we talk about, whether your expectations are rising on this club. You're seeing the bullpen settle in a little, and boy, the bats are booming. Ever since, Austin Riley, yes, infused into the lineup, but really also a couple of other moves, which include putting Acuna at the top of the lineup, moving Josh Donaldson down to cleanup, and things starting to work out for the Atlanta Braves as they go to San Francisco tonight. So a lot to talk to you about, including this thing with the ball, which we keep getting on our Twitter at 99 The Game and on a Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, a lot of reaction. The Twitter is saying, Mimi Burns says nothing, which is fine. I mean, you want nothing and you just want to give the ball back. That's fine. I, you're a better person than me, Mimi. I would want something. I'd at least want a picture. I think you got to get something in return for it.
My man Andrew Pierce says he wants $25,000 to pay off his truck.
Well, you're not going to
That might be a stretch.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Like, if he was the home run king, that might – I mean, you probably get that in a new truck and then some to get that. But that's a lot. That's a lot to ask for the 200.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Somebody else said tweeted in, this is a case where, and I'm trying to find the one, I wanted to make sure I had it. Anyway, I can't find it. Pardon me if it's you, and I missed you right now. But he said that he had caught a ball.
The David Welch. Yeah, I know somebody caught a ball. The Freddie
Freeman
ball.
Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah. And he said they wanted it back. The clubhouse attendant, who was the initial person to negotiate with them, tried to get to lowball you with a bunch of stuff. And they said it put a lot of pressure on you to get the ball back. And they're trying to get the ball back before he leaves out of the locker room. So, yeah, it's one of those things where – he was just saying, he said, it's hard for them to promise you stuff like that, jerseys and ticks, but he negotiated with the manager.
Yeah,
negotiated with the clubhouse manager.
One of the reasons, I would think there'd be a couple of reasons you want the ball back before you leave the clubhouse. One is you want the ball, obviously, mm-hmm. and not for him to keep it. And second is you don't want anybody, I'm sure that from, especially a home run like that, they probably assign a security guard to you so that there isn't a swap, you know what I mean? From just a random foul ball swapped out, you know, and you're actually not giving him the right ball, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could, I don't know. I mean, that sounds a stretch, but you always want to make sure that the provenance, as they say, is maintained. Keith in Atlanta, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, I would, if I caught the ball, the 200 home run, I would ask for at least game one future playoff tickets, autographed jersey, autographed baseball, and a picture with Freddie Freeman, and that would do me good, man.
That to me sounds like a lot, but you know, you got the 200th ball, and at this point, it's really how much does it mean to Freddie Freeman? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Like that's right. The conversation that we're really having mm-hmm. is how much is Freddie Freeman willing to give up to get that 200th ball back? He might look at it and be like, you know what? Kick rocks. He might do that and be like, you know what? You'll keep it. I'll just sign one and say it's my 200th ball. I know it's more authentic when it's the actual ball, but, you know, he might
He might do that, but let's just put it in our terms. Let's say that would you want the ball? I would want the ball.
You know, honestly, John, I would give it back to him. I would want.
No. Pardon me. Let me rephrase. We're the hitter. It's our two. We just
okay.
I would want that ball.
Oh yeah. I would want.
I would ask him what does he want for it, and within reason, I would give it to him.
I would say this, and this is just me, and this has to something to do with my deep rooted pettiness. It all depends on the individual. Like you could really like for me personally, you could really ask for a lot of stuff that would set me off, and I would not want that ball. Like if you came at me, say for instance, if you asked what you asked for John, I would probably be a little bit upset and not give it. I would say, hey, you can keep it. Do what you want with it. I would do that because I felt like that's a little bit high. Now, this is the flip side of that. If you would have came up and handed me the ball, then I would have probably bent over backwards to give you everything that you initially wanted. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just – because at that point, I would feel like you're a genuine person. Not saying that you're not for asking for that stuff, but it just feels – to me, it would feel a little weird that you know you're using something that I hit as a negotiating tool. To me,
well, it's
I would be a little turned off by that.
Well, yeah, I guess I wouldn't look at it much different than like when you showed up and you wanted your number. I mean, somebody else has something of yours,
but I had to pay for that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, he's got because you know, possession of the ball belongs to this guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say it's Freddie's ball. Well, not really.
Ball. It's all about the way you massage the situation. That's how I look at it. And if you like your parents always say, you get more with sugar, you attract more bees with honey.
Yeah, than you do with vinegar. Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's how I would kind of look at it. Like if you came at me and was like, hey, I want this and that, and oh man, hold up, keep the ball. You good.
And by the way, these youngsters for the Braves are pitching. We're kind of having dual conversations here, but Mike Soroka takes the hill tonight. What do we get out of Mike Soroka in San Francisco tonight? Late night start. By the way, Hugh, you need to know this because of our schedule. First pitch tonight is at 9:45.
That's not too bad. I give him two innings. And then we're going to watch that one in the morning. We're going to get up in the morning to watch that
one. Yeah, that's one of those that I watch it in the bed.
Yeah.
And I'm lying there. And
did it start watching you?
The, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will and Marietta. Hey, Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just want to say I don't think asking for a signed jersey, signed bat is too much. Freddie Freeman's going to have that in his locker anyway. So, I mean, if he's going to, you know, not give you the ball for asking, I think it's worth just keep the ball. But I don't think he would do that anyway. You're not asking too much for the jersey and the bat and some tickets. That's no big deal to the Braves.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too. I mean, but that's just me. See, here's something the fans don't know, and you may know this, Hugh. Baseball players, because I've been in plenty of baseball locker rooms, will sit there. I don't want to know how many balls Tony Gwynn signed in his day, but Tony Gwynn used to have in his locker, okay, you know, the popular players,
mm-hmm.
he had probably somewhere on the order of 30 or 40 bats that said Tony Gwynn on them.
Yeah.
And he had dozens upon dozens of baseballs, and he would sit in his locker and just sign them, because the team sells them.
Yeah.
I mean, he gives them out.
But my thing is this.
So it's no big deal.
I understand that it's no big deal, but I don't think it's on you to assume that it's no big deal because he has it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how I look at it, and I know it sounds crazy, but that's the way that I would think of it. Like, you assume that you know what I have in my locker. Now, you're right. You're not lying, but to be that, oh, he got it. You know what I mean? That to me, that's just a little, that's a little, just a little weird.
Malachi in Atlanta, you're on with John.
Malachi.
Hey, Malachi.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Nothing much. One, I would like you guys to have me on your show for a millennial point of view. Two, I think that I would give the ball back, but I would expect something in return, a pitcher, a bat, a ball. And my last point, three, if Devontae Freeman doesn't get it together by game three, then it's over.
What's over? What's over, Malachi?
His career in Atlanta should be over.
Well, that's powerful.
Yeah, okay.
Powerful statement.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't think
pretty
you,
powerful.
Yeah, right. We're not going to get into a Devontae Freeman thing here, but I think he's going to be on the team for the remainder of the year at least. Three games and he doesn't get it going. You got to win this year. You got to win. Like, you've got to make the playoffs if you're Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this year is a playoff year.
Yeah, or you're going to lose your job, or you might lose your job.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're looking at the Falcons, and if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be kind of tight around this point.
Yeah, it is. And what's, okay. We'll get into that when we get into camp. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, drive a hard bargain here. I just wanted to say that I'd be interested to know what that guy got. I mean, I guess, but to your point, Hugh, you know what? It would be worse. And I think you're absolutely right. Let's say you're this guy and you go down to the locker room and you've got the attendant and you say, I just want to make sure that I give this ball back to Freddie. And Freddie, you know, you give the ball back. And I'm not using Fred. I'll use Freddie as an example, and I'm not saying this is habit. But if dude takes the ball and you get nothing.
You're a little salty, but still, at the same time. Let me tell you, this is how I look at it, John. And a lot of people might not agree with this, but to me, expecting Freddie Freeman to give me anything is almost the same as counting Freddie Freeman's money, because I'm justifying asking for all of this stuff because I'm saying he has it. And I know, like we know he has it, but to me, that's the same thing. And I would not ask for anything. If he wanted the ball back and I gave it and I caught it, the only thing that I would ask for is the picture that I told you, me handing him back the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of that other stuff, if he wants to do that, that is great. But Freddie Freeman doesn't owe me anything. Just like me to be, and on the flip side of that, I don't have to give Freddie Freeman back the ball. So it's one of those things where you got to come together and figure out what's best for both parties involved. Some people will look at that and they'll get that ball and they will ask for a king's ransom and will not have a problem with that. Because in their mind, they're like, hell, I paid for these tickets. Freddie Freeman's a millionaire. This is not going to kill him. And that's fine. But I'm looking at it like, hey, he hit the ball. He's the athlete. I want that special moment.
All right, a couple of people said this, a Tigers fan named Eli Hides, I'll do this real quick, turned down signed memorabilia from both the Tigers and Angels and a chance to meet Pujols to return Pujols' 2000th RBI ball. He's complaining that they said that they were accusing me of wanting a ransom. Okay. If you turn out signed memorabilia from both teams and a chance to meet Pujols, then yeah, you are. He's going to keep the ball. I would feel bad at that point. I would feel really bad. I mean, to me anyway. It is the morning show. We're reacting to Atlanta United and the Braves and the weekend that was, including Deontay Wilder. Do you see what happened with him? We got to discuss that for a minute, too. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To Brazil for having the character to throw with him. And, oh, wow.
On Showtime over the weekend, Deontay Wilder with a mega knockout.
Devastating.
To defend his title, a heavyweight crown, that became a viral meme with the knockout in slow motion to one guy sitting ringside who had a red tie on. It was like, oh, like he bet on the other guy or something. But it does lead to a question, and Deontay Wilder, somebody who's been, you know, in our studio, Hugh, with us. Here is the champ. He's 41-0-1. 41-0-1 with 40 knockouts. He just blew up this guy on Saturday. And I don't know what's happened. What's gone wrong with boxing that he's not Tyson? I mean, 40 knockouts.
A lot of people want to point to the fact that pay-per-view kind of killed boxing a little bit. But I think MMA had a little bit to do with that, you know, because you have more people that are readily that can do the MMA and things of that nature. It has grown in popularity over the last couple of years, man. And boxing has dwindled because it's still an art to boxing and a science to boxing. Everybody's not that good at it. Deontay Wilder is a phenomenal heavyweight champion. But you're talking about at a time where there's so many different things that we want to watch. And it's almost like, you know, remember back in the day, the Frank Duce and the Kumite from a blood sport? We like stuff like that. We are a society where we want to see somebody, you know, break their leg or get pummeled to death. I mean, it is what it is. Boxing is a science where you see, say, like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is pound for pound one of the best boxers to ever do it. But we don't like him because he doesn't have any action. Like, his fights are – but when you look at Floyd Mayweather, if you know boxing, all Floyd Mayweather fights are the same. He's a counterpuncher. And he does a great job of not – getting hurt, and he does a great job of wearing his opponents down. People don't want to see that. They want to see two dudes in the ring going at each other. Now, Deontay Wilder, when you talk about the way that he fights, it looks like every punch that he throws, he's always trying to take your head off. Like, that's how he fights. He's just throwing them from the shoulders. But when you talk about some of the things that he's tried to do to bring up his popularity and things like that and get those big fights, it just hasn't happened for him because – he was just born in the wrong era, to be totally honest.
The Bronze Bomber out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Does that have something to do with it, the fact that he's
from Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, and not New York, like Tyson was?
I don't know.
The mean streets of New York.
You look at, who was the last heavyweight champion? No, it wasn't Riddick Bowe. It was Lennox Lewis. Was that the last, like, big heavyweight champion that we talked about?
I mean, the Klitschko's, people know. I don't count the Klitschko's.
I'm talking about the golden era of boxing when,
Tyson and Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis, yeah, Evander Holyfield. It was a different game back then.
And it just 20 changed. Years ago.
Yeah, but yeah, it's changed. Nobody, like, and you remember how the fights that you wanted to see when you were younger that you never got a chance to see because they never happened when they were in their prime. It was a bunch of reasons why I think boxing's kind of fell off. But I think the biggest thing is that the growth of MMA has been the biggest thing.
Yeah, there's been some of that. I mean, Wilder is 41-0-1, 40 knockouts, 20 first-round knockouts. He is kind of the modern version of Mike Tyson, and he gets no attention.
No
love. I mean, none.
And he's done everything. Like, you talk about his brand and what he's trying to do. I don't know. He had a couple years ago. I don't know if it was a show with Harry Douglas. Shout out to my nephew, cousin Harry Douglas. I don't know if it was him or was it Asante Samuels, but they all had like a reality show where they were, you know, talking about different things. I don't know how many episodes they got, but I remember they were doing that. And then you see some of the memes of him and just, you know, when he was that bomb squad or whatever he says, and how it's just like when he does it, it shook some young lady that was standing beside him to her core. I mean, he's a very, very exciting person to watch. He's a cool guy. Got a chance to meet him. It just hasn't clicked for him for whatever reason. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, John, is that, you know, everybody's watching MMA and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's just the way boxing's been run. I've always said that boxing is, you know, boxing has systemic problems in these banana republic organizations, the WBC, the WBO, WBA. There needs to be one organization based in Las Vegas. Give us an idea, because, you know, some guy eats a hamburger and goes from the super feather lightweight belt to the lightweight feather super belt or something. And, you know, who knows? You know, there's, well, he's in the 117-pound weight class. He could go up to the 118-pound weight class. Oh, come on. You know, I mean, we have to have an idea of who's what. And the problem is, I don't think we have an idea of who's what. These promoters are out there trying to just promote themselves. There's no organization that oversees it, you know, worldwide. It's all done by literally South American companies and promoters. It's just disjointed. As a sport, it's not well run.
No, and you know what's funny, man? And this is one thing that I noticed. For whatever reason, I think the marriage between Buffalo Wild Wings and MMA was probably a great idea, because every fight that – most of the fights that are aired, I don't know if it's true or not, but it feels like they're at Buffalo Wild Wings. And that's when most people go watch the fights, like the premier fights.
Mm-hmm.
And people like those knockdown, dragouts, broken legs, dudes unconscious, sleep, elbows to the face, all of that. That's huge.
Yeah, I hope he gets his chance to actually, you know, get a little attention, because he is a great, great fighter. And if you haven't seen that knockout over the weekend, it's on Twitter all over the place. You can go and watch it. I mean, it's just ba-bam.
Yeah, he put him to sleep.
Yeah, he put him to sleep is right. Also, I have a number of relatives in North Texas in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I was just talking out in the bullpen there with Brian Gephardt, who has family in Oklahoma. I have probably about 15. If you have relatives in that area, you might want to just touch base with them this morning. The National Weather Service and all the weather services saying that could be, well, one weather guy says a historic outbreak of tornadoes today. And we've seen what's happened in Wichita Falls and, you know, Moore, Oklahoma, and Joplin, Missouri, places like that, that there could be a really bad, bad, bad day. So just keep that in mind if you've got relatives in Texas and Oklahoma and you know, up into Joplin in Kansas City, just to keep your eyes out there. I said, you know what, Hugh? The idea of tornadoes, more than anything else, scare the living H-E double hockey sticks.
They should. They're very devastating, man. And you know, I've seen pictures of, like, how they change direction and people are chasing them or whatever, and then they get caught in the tornado. Yeah, it's very, very devastating.
So that just a little kind of, you know, as you head into work today, just to keep your eyes on that, because if it lives up to what they're saying today, it's going to be a bad day. Atlanta soccer supporters, want to remind you, Stoppage Time presented by Aaron's, Wednesday, 2 p.m. on our Facebook page, 929 The Game Facebook page. Wednesday at 2, Stoppage Time with Mike, Jason, Joe Patrick, talking all things Atlanta soccer. That's Wednesday, 2 p.m. on the Facebook page. By the way, Mike will be here. In about half an hour from now, we'll talk to Mike Connie. Coming up next, though, we're going to check in with our old buddy JJ. Jerome Jurinovich is going to join the program to ask him what he thinks of that 200 baseball and whether or not the Braves are, in fact, setting new expectations. Jerome Jurinovich will join us in just a moment with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.